Y'all heard me. I talked about this book last week. This is Justin Purvis, our Dads with Shields leader, who is like literally my brother from another mother. He heard me because he listens to all my podcasts. He read this in 4 hours. Read it. So I'll listen to it on tape. That's right. Well, same thing. But Mom, what's your excuse? She is free, not he is free. And he read it. So I'm telling y'all, for the beach, this probably isn't a great, this is not going to be a relaxing beach read. So, but you're going to have to dig into this, okay? Because this book will radically change your life. So I want Justin, this is Justin, our Dads with Shields leader. I want him to share because I want you to hear him, because once you hear him, you're going to want your husbands to meet him and be with him at Dads with Shields. It's not, Andrea, did you unmute it? There you go. Well, hold on. Is it working?
Hello.
Oh, there we go.
Okay, that works. Yeah, the She is Free. About every.
Justin.
3 or 4 dad's books I'll read. I'll read one for women because I'm about to have my third daughter, and me and my wife's relationship, I may not be able to share empathy, but I can share compassion with at least what they're going to go through. So it's as important to me to learn about a female's walk with Christ as it is about a male's walk with Christ, because I got to be able to relate to my daughters. I don't want to be the dad that just goes, well, I don't know what they're going through. No, I want to know what they're going through. So She is Free, awesome book. I think my favorite quote in it is, she says that marriage reveals your selfishness and children reveal your anger. So that was a good quote in the book. So I am Justin Purvis. Amazingly, I'm less anxious talking to y'all than the guys, probably because y'all actually respond when I say something. So, Dads with Shields, vintage 242, as I said, we're getting more organized. I actually worked 5 hours already this morning. So I worked about 70 hours a week. So my organization, and about to have a fourth kid, tends to get off. Actually, I saw him come in. Mr. Philip O standing up there in the back, and we'll call him out. He's going to be helping me organize along with Jermaine and Terry and everyone else, trying to get this thing coming together better and better and figure out timing to where we're more in God's plan and not, you know, making any kind of agenda on what we're wanting. Speaking of that, the last session we walked through with the dads on a yes sir segment, where basically if in my house or in our house, it's always about yes sir. Whenever to look victorious in God is the same thing with our children, where when we ask you to do something, there's no back talk. It's yes sir, yes ma'am, and do what we ask you to do. And like I told the guys, why do we expect God to treat us any differently? So walking through that, we finished that up. Yes sir, living the yes sir life. I had this plan for second meeting. It was going to be great. I know exactly what God wants me to do. And then I heard one of Joy's messages where she mentioned time. And, man, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Because of working a bunch of hours and working a lot of overtime, time. And then I've heard like 3 or 4 other pastors this week, and it's always about time. And I'm like, okay, so I know what area you want me to speak into. And me and Mary Beth had this idea, you know, we don't get more time. I mean, God sets us, there's a certain amount of hours that we get. And we've had an idea about building like a family mission statement in our kitchen where we can always read what our mission is as a family walking with Christ. But underneath, I want to at least mount a regular clock where I can watch the minutes and seconds roll by. And I want to put a chalkboard up to where so with our oldest daughter, how many days are left until you're 18? And every morning I'm going to change that number to the next day, because I can look up there and say, I'm 1 day less. Did I waste yesterday? Because we may not have tomorrow. We may not have the summer, I always hear the famous thing at work is, I can't wait till the weekend. And I'm like, well, what if you don't make it to the weekend? And I'm like, are you making the best of today? And they're like, oh, well, that's, you know, it's 4:30 in the morning, Justin. Thank you for that. You know, just going through time. We've constantly talked about time, and that's one of our biggest downfalls that we're working on improving. And like we've talked about, we've got to get down to the minutes and the seconds with our kids. I know I'm as guilty as anyone where I look up and I've been on my phone for 30 minutes. And I'm like, man, I know they've asked me multiple times to go do something with them. I'm not going to get those 30 minutes back. That 30 minutes is missing from that 18 years forever. And that time is important. I'm not going to hold up much more time. So speaking into time, I've got this coworker. And he's kind of like my mentor at work. He went through my last Dads with Shields with me last week, and he critiqued it with me, and you can do better in this, you can do better in that. We were just talking back and forth on how to do better in it, and he asked me what my next message was going to be on. So I told him a time. So we went through time, and he's 63 years old and talking about retirement and has all these plans, and he gave me his point on it. In fact, he's a deacon at his church, and he's raised 15 children between foster and biological. Just outstanding guy. So Monday morning, about 6:15, we're walking into work. And if you know anything about Lockheed, you go in through tunnels. So you enter in from the parking lot, you go in through these dark tunnels, and then about a quarter mile walk in, you go up your stairwell into your work area. So right before I get to my stairwell, my buddy is laying on the floor with two guys doing CPR on him. So two other guys ready to jump in on the CPR, nothing I could do. So the only thing I could do was kneel and pray. And I watched him take his last breath. So in light of him, time is important. So, Monday was rough. And tomorrow on Good Friday, he'll be laid to rest. So, but definitely don't take advantage of your time. We've talked about it all week. Man, it is important. And our kids are paying attention. So if you tell your husbands to come, tell them to be patient with us. It's a learning curve. It's growing. I tend to set my expectations way higher than maybe God does because I want my roots deep. I don't want the shallow soil that gets burned up. So if it takes longer to get us to where God wants us at, that's fine with me. But that's all I've got this morning. Just glad to be here. Really enjoy, seeing everyone. So thank y'all.
See, don't you all want your husband to be around Justin? Mary Beth, where are you? Wave. This is his sweet wife, Mary Beth. They are they were high school sweethearts and married and now have two girls, one boy, and now they're having another baby girl. So, Justin, thank you for coming. And look, he's going to sit all the way through, y'all, because he is hungry to learn. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. So get your daddies, your baby daddies. Can I say that? Oh, is that like bad to say? It ain't the first thing I've said. Y'all probably know by now. It's just like, oh, Lord, y'all just should have. My sister could tell you some stories. Woo! All right, will you stand? I am so excited about this morning. Hey, when I was praying, when I was worshiping in the shower, I love to worship in the shower. The Lord, I just kept saying, God, what do you want to say to your daughters today? What do you want to say to your daughters today? What do you want to say to your daughters? And the song Reckless Love, oh man, y'all, that's another thing I forgot to tell you. The last day, guess what we're going to be doing? We're your favorite thing. We're going to be worshiping. We're going to have live worship that last day. So, so excited. But I was listening to Reckless Love, and I felt the Spirit of God say, I'm accelerating my pursuit of my daughters. God is accelerating his pursuit of you. So listen, I got two words to tell you after he told me that. Get ready. get ready. He is accelerating his pursuit of his daughters. So God, today, find us ready, Lord. Man, God, we pray it all the time. Would you blow the roof off this place with your presence and your power? Man, that I already feel power in this place. God, would living water flow from this stage, and may your daughters and your sons jump in ready to swim. We're all in, God. No longer are we gonna sit and just put our tippy toes. God, we're ready to get in deeper and deeper and do this thing with you, God. We are ready to believe you at your word. God, help us in our unbelief. We're ready to believe you. We're ready to accept what you say and not what culture and the world says. God, we're ready to stop circling mountains that you've told us to speak to. Accelerate our faith. Accelerate our boldness and our audacity, God. To ask and seek and know that you hear your daughters praying. Start today, God. Man, demonstrate your power through your word that I get to proclaim through my mouth. God, use me. And don't let me say anything you don't want spoken over your daughters. Here's my mouth, God. Fill it. And let our ears be ready to hear. And let our feet be ready to move. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Woo, woo, hoo. All right, continuing this ascend. We are almost, we only have 3 weeks left, and I just feel like every week has gotten better and better and better. God is truly doing what this word means. We are going to another level. We're going to look at eagles again today. And a unique characteristic that I found, another characteristic trait of the eagle, is eagles are solitary birds. They're loners. They most always fly alone or with other eagles, their mate in particular. But they fly alone. They also fly at the highest altitudes. No other bird flies at the altitude the eagle flies on. We're going to talk about this week 7. You will not want to miss this. Eagles see storms coming. They see the storms coming, and like so many of you a couple weeks ago, that storm was coming, and fear was coming upon me, because I don't like storms. I grew up in Huntsville, Alabama. I remember walking in my pajamas in the middle of the night from one house to the next house in a tornado. So fear just kind of attached itself in that space. So when physical storms come, I have to push myself out of that fear. But not the eagle. The eagle sees the storm coming and they get excited. Because what they do is they catch a thermal, which is the hot air that raises them to the next level. Y'all better be here week 7. They avoid being bothered with smaller birds that would disturb their flight pattern. They don't want to mess around with people that are going to keep them from going where they got to go. That's a word for somebody. Remember, if eagles don't learn how to fly, they'll grovel like chickens. When a storm is coming, all other birds, they seek shelter, but not the eagle. The eagle alone avoids the storm by flying above it. So in the storms of life, may your heart be like the eagle and fly above it. Isaiah 40:31 is our theme verse. But the verse before it is where we're going to camp out a little bit today, in the beginning anyway, because we're going to be going through a lot of scripture today. But Isaiah 40:30 mentions some of the storms that we will encounter in this life and today that we will encounter as moms. It says, even youths shall faint and be weary, and selected young men shall feebly stumble and fall exhausted. Mom, some of you came in here with those adjectives describing you. You're faint, you're weary, you're tired, you are exhausted. Some of you with these little bitty nursing babies, you are tired. They still aren't sleeping through the night. Some of you are limping because something that your kid is walking through, you're stumbling. Man, some of us came in here, but man, as I was preaching this, I was reminded of that scripture in Micah 7, verse 8. And it says, enemy, don't laugh at me. Though I have fallen, I will stand up. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Anybody feel tired or exhausted? Listen, you tell the enemy, don't you laugh at me, because I've learned how to fight. Though I've fallen now, I'm gonna get up, and you better be okay when I do, because you better run. I had my daughter, my 16-year-old daughter, come into my room. She had just met with her mentor. And she came into my room the other night, and I was, did anybody have their position? Like, I do not sit all day to study, but to me, I'm still birthing, right? So about 10 o'clock at night, I love Reba. That is the one show I tape, and I could probably by rote tell you every episode. It's either that or a Hallmark movie. I get into my pajamas and I get into my flannel cup, my sheets, and that is like John William is in bed. The girls, you know, we've prayed over them. Mama is alone and I'm sitting. So I was already watching into an episode of Reba, and Sydney comes in, and I could see she was a little upset. And so I was like, you know, my routine. She was messing with my routine. But I put the channel, I turned it off, and I gave her my attention. I raised up out of my flesh. And she told me that she has been dealing with fear, like that it has attached itself to her. And I did not even know this about her. And this verse in Micah, it's all I could think about as she was talking, because this is what my 16-year-old said. I looked at her, I said, Sid, because when you have a fear, guys, there's always a place that fear came in. And it's very important for you to find out where. And I was 45 in a counseling session and figured out where my came in. And here is my 16-year-old daughter, because I looked at her and I said, Sydney, when did that fear, we've got to figure out when that fear came in. She said, oh, I know when it came in. And there was an Easter preschool party that we were driving home from, and I gave her one of those Starlight mints. And I'm driving, and she starts choking. And what do? I splashed my fear right on her. I freaked out. We pulled over at the Marietta Square when it was a Crystal. Now it's a Starbucks. And she finally, she had her little smocked Easter dress. Some of your babies had that all day, with a little white sweater button with little ruffled socks. Oh, big old bow ribbon. And she threw all up over it. She said, Mama, that's where it came in. And I looked at her and I thought to myself, enemy, though she has fallen, she's going to get up. Because she knows how to fight. So, Mom, though you may be weary today, though you may have stumbled, though your kids may be flailing, it's okay, because you're gonna get up. You are gonna get up. So today might not be one of those messages that you feel like William Wallace from Braveheart, or it might be. You know, when he's on his horse, I've never watched that movie because I can't, because it's too much yuck, but I did watch this clip. When he's on his horse and he's, for freedom, you're a fight for freedom. And they're like, no, we're scared. But you might feel like this, because today we're going to dig into this message of a really sad characteristic of the eagle. that they're alone, that they're solitary. Today we're going to talk about the loneliness of the front lines of mothering. Maybe even since you started coming to Moms with Swords, you've had to let go of some friends because you're deciding to ascend and believe God for some things that other people are like, you are crazy. Today, I'm here to tell some of you, maybe for the first time, and some of you I might simply just be reminding you and encouraging you that, Mom, there is no one else that will do your job, that should do your job. It's you. You have been singled out. How it was for Abraham, it's still for you in Genesis 18:19, when God says, "For I have chosen Abraham." One translation says, "I have singled him out to tell the works of the Lord." Look, I've singled him out so that he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Then I will do for Abraham all that I promised. Mom, God has singled you out. You are the eagle. The youth group, the Christian school, the church retreat are all amazing supplements, but they cannot do for your babies what you can do and what God has purposed for you to do. And God, although friends might leave you, God never leaves you, Matthew 28:20. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Mom, God is with you to the end of the day. He's with you at all times. He sees you. We talked about this a few weeks ago. He knows you. While others may have left you or may leave you or probably will at some point, God will disconnect you from people that are just gonna pull you down and keep you groveling. And you're saying, no, I wanna fly. Let him detach those people from you. It's not ironic that as I was writing this teaching out, I got a call from a friend. Actually, she's a friend, but I don't really see her. We have our oldest kids are in the same, and our youngest are in the same grade, but they're at a different school now. Her son's a real big football player, and he's pursuing college, and so we have that in common, and we'll see each other at the grocery store. So when I got a call from her, I was utterly like, what? Why is she calling me? But it was so not coincidence, because her phone called me. I was writing this teaching, y'all, and when I called her, she's bawling, and her words to me were, Joy, I am so alone. She went on to tell me how she was with some dear friends, like not acquaintances. She was with dear friends, lifelong friends, she said. And they were talking about their kids and what their kids were, because he's a 10th grader. And when you get a 10th grader, they start seeing things, and all the kids around them start experimenting and doing things. And these friends that she does life with were like, they're just going to do it. Why do you think he won't do it? She was like, I feel so judged, but I feel so alone. Choosing not to sit on the sidelines, Mom, I'm going to tell you, is lonely. Because there are not a lot of mamas joining you. There are not a lot of mamas, as this mom found, the cultural correctness they've bought into. There is not a lot of mamas that are going to look at another mama and say, in Jesus' name, I'm just believing my kid won't. Most mamas are saying, oh. And so this mom felt so, she's flying solo in her community, her own community. And so many of you might feel that way today. And I told her, I said, you are. which is why you need to come to Moms with Swords. Because this is a culture. This right here is a community of other mamas that are saying, yes, I'll believe that with you. Yes, I will pray with you through that. Yes. Yes. You, mom, alone are the watchman on your wall. You are the one to stand in the gap, the interpose that Ezekiel talks about, the go-between for your babies. You. You. And let me tell you something that Jesus wants you to know. You are qualified to be that. You're qualified. You're good enough. You are worthy enough because he has said you're worthy enough. You. You. He loves you and he singled you out to raise those babies and to be their watchman. In Ezekiel 22 is where we see this picture. The Israelites are in Babylonian captivity. Babylon, much like what we're living in today, my sister says it all the time, it was described as the city of pride and idolatry. Does that sound like America? The wicked city. Ezekiel is a book filled with judgment and doom on Jerusalem. But man, God is relentless in his mercy to his children. In Ezekiel 22, he's looking for somebody. He does it. He's ready. If somebody, I search for a man among them who would build up the wall, which we know later would be Nehemiah, and stand in the gap before me for the sake of the land, that I would not destroy it. But I found the sad, so sad, but I found no one. Not even one. Mom, gosh, I believe this is a clarion call for mamas. And I'm not trying to add to or take away. I'm just trying to put a different spin on it. So don't send me an email. God's looking for a mama who's going to build up the wall and stand in the gap for their children so that he would not allow the things that could come against them to come against them. Or if they do, that God will intercept it and use it for good. Because that's what he does. His righteous right hand. I believe the things God allows in our kids' lives to produce holiness in them, we see it as bad. God just swoops in with his hand. He takes it and he makes it for good. But he's asking, is there somebody that'll stand in the gap? God was looking in this scripture for somebody to repair the wall in the hedge that was broken down and stand as the interpose to place someone or something between two or more things or people. Every day, mom, every day. The walls, the spiritual walls that you are trying to build around your kids are being breached. The things my 10-year-old has told me that he heard on the lacrosse field, a word the other day that he said, I know what that word is, and I thought it was a different word, and when he said it to me, I was like, oh, I didn't know that word till I was in high school. Y'all, the walls are being breached all the time. And just like a city was not protected without walls, your children are not protected without the walls. Your prayers will build up around them. There are things that are coming that contradict everything. Everything you're pouring into your kids, contradictions every day. They need you to be the watchman I tell y'all all the time about Sydney's boyfriend. And I see, because I'm her watchman and I'm the gatekeeper right now for 18 years. I'm the gatekeeper. I decide who's coming in my gate and who's not. And this boy, I was never going to open my gate to for 8 months. I was like, uh-uh. And then finally, Holy Spirit said, you open your gate to him. And I obeyed. And I opened the gate. That is a frontline mama. And it would be so much easier just to let them figure it out on their own. But I am not willing. Are you willing? Just to let chance, oh, we'll see how they turn out. You're at moms with swords, so I believe you're not. You're stepping up, which is a lonely place. And you're saying, I will. The King James version of that verse in Ezekiel says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge. I love that. Make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me in the land that I should not destroy it. But I found none. And a hedge is an interclosure, a fence, a wall. You, mom, in 1 Timothy 2:5, you, mom, we have an interpose. For God is one, and there's one mediator between God and the sons of men, which is us, the true man, Jesus, the anointed one. Y'all, Jesus is the watchman. He is your interpose. Nothing happens to you that does not first come through your Father. He is the go-between. Just like Job, Satan had to go to God and say, can I test him? And God said, yes. God, Jesus, because of what's fixing to be celebrated on Sunday, is our interpose. And mom, you need to be the middleman. Because Jesus is advocating for your kids, but he needs a person to work through. So right now, he needs you to be the middleman, the go-between. The enemy has got to go not just through mama, but he's got to go through the Son of God to get to your babies. That word in its original, that watchman in the Hebrew, is to look out or about. Black Hawk, spy, keep watch. Add that to your job description today, mom. That's a Black Hawk mom right there. A spy. I'm watching. My son was at that camp last weekend. I told y'all that I was so excited about. So quiet in my house. The softball field, I was there all day and not 50 times. Can I have cotton candy? Can I go to the concession stand? Can I have, you know, go look at my hands. I got dirt all over. I was like, oh. But I had lookouts at the retreat. I said, I want you to look out for me. I want you to see how he is around his friends and in that atmosphere. I'm always spying. I'm always. It's a hard job, though, mom. Again, it'd be much easier. I could retire to my flannel sheets and my Reba a lot earlier, but I'm not willing. Are you? We will get tired. We will stumble and fall, like the verse says. Why, today, I believe God wants me to remind you and tell you that it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. So many of you are emailing and texting me blueberries that God is showing you. And let me tell you something. That's God's way of telling you it's worth it. I'm working. Don't give up. Don't give up. The other night, huge blueberry of my own kid. It's working, God. It's working. Because I was 45 and realized that I had a root of fear. She's 16. To be set free at 16, y'all? Do you want that for your children? Yes! I know you do. Let's believe God will set them free and that the lies, the things that we have believed will not splash on them, that God will uproot them from the very root. Man, that is all over me these last few weeks. Not that God will, because again, God will allow some crappy stuff to come in our hearts and our minds and our lives. Not that God will. Please, I'm not this faith preacher that you just got to have enough faith and nothing bad will happen. Absolutely not. But I am also, I'm in the middle. Because I truly believe that we don't see miracles because we simply just don't ask. It's not that God always will, but y'all, it's always that he could. Always that he could. You are doing a great work in your home. A great work in your home. One of my favorite books, and we did this several sessions ago, Raising Unselfish Children in a Self-Absorbed World. Great book. I just wanted to read this when we're talking about a great work. This beautiful description of this author's mother. She said, Mother always said it's the little things that matter most. Her journals proved that she truly believed it. She captured the little everyday happenings in our family that made our simple lives richly complex. Her journal entries mentioned her concern for our hearts. Page after page recounted the daily building of her children's character. Mother was and still is one of those mothers who wants her children to be their best. Her words, pretty is as pretty does, lulls me to sleep many nights. Today, goblets that my mother gave me are displayed on hanging shelves in my dining room. They're not worth much to guests in my home, but to me, they're priceless. As I gently remove the tarnish, I'm reminded of my mother's great love for her children. She was determined to rub away the tarnish in our hearts before they came blackened with sin. She polished and cleaned us every day. She worried much more about our hearts than our minds. She believed it was her duty to prepare us for life and our duty to participate in life. Mother educated our hearts so we could educate our minds. Children don't need a lot of things when their hearts are full of the right stuff. Your kids see into your heart. They know love when they see it, and they know it when they don't. Your heart is eternally connected to your children's hearts. Use the influence God has given you to fill your heart, your children's hearts, with forgiveness, generosity, and gratitude. A great work. This mother knew it was a great work. And there is an illustration of a great work in Nehemiah that I want us to look at. In Nehemiah chapter 6, I'll give you a little background. Nehemiah had been appointed by God to rebuild the wall. Remember back in Ezekiel? Nehemiah is a cupbearer by no coincidence to the king Artaxerxes. Nehemiah is a Jew, so he is 70 years exiled to Babylon. Nehemiah's brother comes to Nehemiah and tells him the state of the Jews that have returned from the province of Judah, that the walls have been torn down. So the city is not safe. So Nehemiah 6, once again we found out that our progress had been reported to our enemies, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. And you could insert any names you wanted that are your oppressors or your opposition coming against you, as well as the rest of our other adversaries. Heard that under my leadership, the wall had been rebuilt. Not one gap remained, though the door still had to be hung on the gates. Sanballat and Geshem sent messengers to me. Sanballat and Geshem's message, come and meet with us in the plain of Ono at the border village of Cherethim. They were planning to hurt me, so instead of going, I sent messengers back to them. Nehemiah's message, this is it, I love it. This is the great work. I'm in the middle of a great work and I cannot be interrupted. That should be your voicemail on your cell phone. Hi, this is Joy Chambly. I'm in the middle of a great work and I cannot be interrupted. I'll call you in 18 years. Maybe you should say that to the PTA when they come and ask you to be PTA president or room mom. Look, I'm not coming down to meet you. What is so important that I should suspend this great work we're doing to travel to see you? The same exchange played out four different times. They asked for a meeting and I refused. Let's stop it there, Ann. We don't have to go. I don't want to go there yet. A great work. Nehemiah called it a great work. Mom, you are doing a great work in your home. But let me tell you something. If this is a real work of God and for God, guess what? It's a real conflict with Satan. Nehemiah had oppressors, adversaries. You know, people that want to come and knock you off of your work, of your course, or knock you down before you even start. That's what Nehemiah faced. People that wanted to tell him, to disrupt him and interrupt him. We got that coming at us all the time. That's why we must know we are doing a great work. Just like my friend was facing those who were opposing her stance. Moms, we must persevere in this mission, and we must fight for this mission. Nehemiah would persevere through. If you read the book of Nehemiah, these guys never stop. Never stop. And I know some of you, since you've been coming even to Moms with Swords, the enemy is not stopping the pursuit. Because it's a great work that you're doing. So it's a real big conflict for him. God has great plans for your kids, but so does the enemy. And if you don't know that this is a great work, then you aren't going to believe and know that you got to fight for it. Nehemiah would persevere through. He needed to persevere through perseverance. I love definitions. Perseverance means the quality that allows someone to continue trying to do something, even though it's difficult. Steady persistence in adhering to a course of action or a belief or purpose. Steadfastness. God wants to download stuff to you here at Moms with Swords, so there's going to be opposition working against you. That's why it's so hard for you to get here every Thursday. That's why it's so hard for you to get to church on Sunday. Because any great work of God is a huge conflict with the enemy. We've got to persevere, y'all. We've got to persevere in this great work. Eagles live for 20 to 25 years. They stay with other eagles, particularly their mate. So moms, this is why I believe it is so important and why I believe that Moms with Swords, again, not Joy's Moms with Swords, this is God's mission. This is just something that he has allowed me to be a part of. Moms with Swords was mandated from heaven. It is a mission, and I believe it is a force to be reckoned with. I believe in this ministry because it allows you to fly along other eagles. Because it is lonely. Out there are the chickens. In here, listening on the podcast, are eagles. You got to have them. Jesus had 12, right? I always say my 12. And y'all, God has never outlined my 12 more than he has in my 40s. So look, if you don't know who your 12 are, I promise you by the time you get 40, God will give you 12. I know who my 12 are. God has had to cut a lot of chickens off of me because I was clucking with them. And I'm saying, but I want to fly. God's like, well, then stop clucking. You got to have your 12. Look around you. You're not alone. It's a lonely mission, but you're not alone in it. Mamas all over are raising their hands saying, I'm going to do this thing. I'm jumping into the game. But as Billy Graham said, every successful work of God must have opposition. Nehemiah had opposition. We are going to have opposition. These guys were relentless in their pursuit. They wanted to devalue the work. Has anybody around you wanted to devalue your work? And listen, I want to stop because the Spirit told me when I was teaching this that some of even your husbands are not supportive of this work you're wanting to do. Mom, may I encourage you that God is behind you. And you keep praying. You go to Aaron's prayer group on marriage. You keep praying for that man. Some of you are alone, literally, in your home in this mission. But God is not left you. He is with you. As it was for Nehemiah, so it is with you. You are doing such a great work, Mom, and you have got such a great God backing you. I love what the opposition does for Nehemiah. Look at Nehemiah 6. And can you go to verse 1? I want to go from verse 1 all the way to verse 9. She's going to kill me. I added that. I love what opposition does. And moms, this is what I'm hoping today you catch. The opposition that comes at you, all hell breaking loose, trying to get you to not come, and you come anyway, this tenacity, like I'm going to receive what God has for me to receive. Look at what Nehemiah does, Nehemiah 6, starting in verse 1. Once again, we found that our progress had been reported to our enemies. These three dudes. Now, y'all, these weren't just any other dudes. One of them was a governor. So these were big dogs. And they were mad. They were mad. Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arab, as well as the rest of... So Nehemiah had a lot of adversaries. They heard that under my leadership, the wall had been rebuilt. Not one gap remained, though the doors still had to be hung on the gates. Sanballat and Geshem sent messengers to me. Sanballat, Geshem, we read this, but we're going to read it again. Come and meet with us in the plain of Ono at the border village of Cherethan. They were planning to hurt me. So instead of going, I sent messengers back to them. So Nehemiah discerns. Mom, you got to discern if what's coming at you is God or if it's the enemy. One translation I read of this yesterday talked about the rumors. The rumors surrounded this work. Y'all, behind great works of God, behind this great work of Moms with Swords, behind the great work of Sanctuary, guess what there is? There's lots of rumors. Some of you might have even heard rumors. There's always going to be rumors. There's a whole article about Beth Moore that she is a heretic. There's always rumors. Be careful, Mom, what you listen to and what you discern. Nehemiah knew they were planning to hurt me. So instead of going, I sent messengers back to them. And this is Nehemiah's message. I'm in the middle of a great work and I cannot be interrupted. I'm not coming down to meet you. What is so important that I should suspend this great work we are doing to travel to see you? This same exchange played out four different times, y'all. They kept coming. They asked for a meeting. And what does Nehemiah do? I refused. The fifth time, I was approached by a servant of Sanballat. The chicken sent somebody else to do his dirty work. He came with the same message, but this time he carried an unsealed letter, which was a really big deal back in those days. See, the intimidation just keeps, ooh, y'all, I feel like Nehemiah because I've walked this out a lot. Sanballat's letter, a report has gone out to the surrounding nations that you're rebuilding the wall because you and your fellow Jews are planning to revolt against Persia. See, now they're twisting the mission. If you can't take the mission out. We're going to twist what the mission is. Ooh, you got to listen to Jesus, mamas. Don't you listen to the rumors. Geshem confirms this report and suggests that you are looking to be crowned as king. Now, y'all, now it's personal. Now they are attacking Nehemiah's very character. Anybody's pastor ever been attacked? Anybody's character out here ever been attacked? They're going for the low blow. Oh, Nehemiah, you want to be king. Rumor has it that you have even appointed prophets to announce in Jerusalem, Judah has a king, referencing you. Be assured that this very report is going to make it back to the king, and you're going to be in big trouble. Meet with us at once. Okay, y'all, now listen. This is what Nehemiah says. This is where I want us to get. The message back to him was simple. There is nothing to what you are saying. You're making it all up. And one translation says, so I went back to work with even greater determination. Mom, may the oppression, may the accusations, may the rumors only propel you with even greater determination. Oh, you're not knocking me off this course. No way. I am going to be greater because God has allowed it. I will not be deterred. Mom, do not let the rumors, do not let the oppressors, I don't care how many times they say you are crazy, you are doing something, they persecute your character, I don't care. Do not stop the work, but you allow it to propel you with an even greater determination to finish the work God's called you to do. Woo! Don't you back down. Don't you accept it. In the face of those that try and discourage you, try to oppose you, let me tell you something. God will vindicate you one way or another. And he might just use the sister sitting beside you. When somebody comes to say you're crazy, let them say that to me. I got your back. You got my back. With even greater determination. Because moms, it's a great work. And Nehemiah knew it was a great work. But he couldn't fight for a work that he didn't believe in. Mom, you gotta believe that it's a great work you're fighting for. You're not alone. Your God is with you, and he's backing you in this beautiful, great work. Listen, I've learned I would rather fly with a few who are fearless than cluck around on the ground with the unbelievers that are chickens. I got people calling me out when they see me being a chicken. I want to fly. I want you all to stand. As we finish, I want to read Nehemiah. End with this prayer that Nehemiah prays over his people that I just, man. Our prayer leaders are going to go back, but again, the Lord has changed this up every week. If you need prayer, you all go back after, but we're going to use this as our end. And I'm going to start in verse 13. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 11. A little tricky. Chapter 4 of Nehemiah, but I'm going to start in verse 11 because this is important. And then verses 13 through 15 is Nehemiah's prayer. Greater determination, moms. With greater determination, though you may be flying alone, fly with a few who are fearless. Fly with a few who are fearless. Look at Nehemiah 4, verse 11. I love what it says. You got it, Ann? Oh, shoot. Okay, I wrote it down here. I got it. Listen, chapter 4, verse 11. This is what happens before Nehemiah's prayer. It says, it's his enemies. The enemies are saying, those same three guys and the adversaries, they say, we will sneak in among them before they know what's happening. They will be dead, and the work will end for sure. Sneak attacks. Y'all, he's got a lot of things up his sleeve, the enemy does. So the enemies, Nehemiah's enemies are thinking, we'll just sneak in. And before they know it, and that surely this work will be over. It's going to take a lot more to knock me off my course. It's going to take a lot more to knock me off my course. So look at Nehemiah 4, starting in verse 13. Again, love Nehemiah as a leader. As a leader, I have learned so much from Nehemiah. If you need something to study over the summer, study the book of Nehemiah. He's such a great leader. He always went back to prayer. And this is what he does. He says, so I strengthened our defenses. He acts, right? He knows you got to be purposeful. That's why you're the watchman. You're circling your kids. He says, I placed men armed with anything they had on hand. The swords, spears, and bows they used to hunt at the vulnerable low sections along the wall that were exposed. Mom, the low places, make sure they're protected. Your babies, when they're up in their room and they got their phone, that's a low place. You better arm them. The vulnerable places, you better know what those vulnerable places are for your kids. Ask God to show you. I organized them by families. I stood up and addressed those gathered, nobles, officials, anyone who was close at hand. Nehemiah, another translation I read, he says, when I saw the fear, and Mom, I am your Nehemiah today. Because I know some of you are fearful. Some of you, like me, often parent from a place of fear. So let me be Nehemiah to you, and may you be Nehemiah to somebody else today. It says, when he looked and he saw the fear, he told his people, you're my people, moms. So I'm saying to you today, do not be afraid of these people, Mom. Don't be afraid of the teenage years. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what could happen, Mom. Don't be afraid of the sickness. Don't be afraid. Remember the eternal. Our God, remember, Mom, remember who's backing you. Our great and awesome Lord, Mom, remember. When the enemy comes, remember your great and awesome Lord and fight, Mom. Fight. I'm going to record myself saying that, and you can put it on your phone in the summer when you don't have me. Fight for your people. Fight for your people, your sisters and your brothers, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. Mom, fight. Indeed, our enemies had intended to defeat us through surprise. Remember verse 11? But they learned we were aware of their plan and ready for their attack. That is the greatest scripture for mothering. I love it. Devil, we see you. I know the carrot. I know it. My daughter leaves for the beach tomorrow morning without me. And I just read about a man that drowned in a double red flag. I know the carrot. I see you. I have learned. And I'm ready for your attack. Dang it. Bring it on. Bring it on. I'm going to wear some combat boots next time. The true God, listen, y'all. Man, this has been lived out in my life. It's been lived out at Moms with Swords. The true God had frustrated them. And so what? Shake it off. We went back to work on the wall at our assigned places. Moms, today, everybody do this. Everybody, come on. Shake it off, Mom. You shake it off. Now do this. You get back to work. In Jesus' name, you get back to work. God, woo, I feel you, Jesus. Man, man, I feel the authority on that word. I feel the authority on that word. Woo, I feel the authority on that word. God, may it land. May it land on these mamas. Devil, you are silenced today. We see you. And we know where you're going to try to attack, but we will be ready for you. And we, like David, don't come with a big old spear or a javelin. We don't come with a theology degree. We don't come with 50 million scriptures memorized. We come as something better. We come with the name of the Lord God, our eternal victorious one, on our lips. And we need only to speak that name. You are silenced. We will fight. We will fight. God, I believe you have birthed in some and you have awakened in others a warrior spirit today. A warrior spirit like Nehemiah that's going to discern the attacks and intercept and use them for your glory, God. We will not come down. We are doing a great work. And we have a great God backing our efforts. Man, God, may this land and may this word produce in hearts today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you need prayer, go back. Yes, we can praise the Lord. That's who we're praising. Woo! Woo! I got to sing Sunday and I am totally ruining my voice. If you need prayer, y'all, go back. And if not, you're dismissed to your prayer groups. No Moms with Swords next week. So if you want me on your phone, fight, Mom, fight!